Are you ready?
Check this out. And they just realized that
the crew rise to the top. Oh yeah. And there is no one that does it better.
This is what makes you tick. Is this what you need in life?
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing edition of the Kayfabe Nation podcast, broadcasting to you live from beautiful, amazing, picturesque Crystal Lake Studios in Putnam Valley, New York. My name is Keith Farrell. I am the orchestrator of audio wizardry. I am joined, as always, by my two colleagues, one of whom... We don't know what happened. We'll get to that in one moment.
Yeah,
but real quick, let's introduce the man, the myth, the legend, the Gaelic vampire, the self-proclaimed greatest podcaster of all time. His name, everybody, is Tom Terrific McAllister.
Even though I can't be outside in the sun for longer than 3 minutes and 37 seconds, I can still bring the heat.
Well, guys, now everybody, normally, as you know, we're joined on a weekly basis by the owner and operator of the longest and strongest baby arm on the East Coast, owner and operator of Alpha Male Securities, Beta Male Securities, former Division I Mud Wrestling Champion, former Division I tight end, Majestic Beast Nicholas Kronk. This week he's with us, he's next to us, however, ever since he's come in, he's gotten ill, he's turning different colors. We're gonna let him tap out on this one. You want to just say anything before you?
I don't know what it is. Like, two nights ago, I was fine, went to bed fine. Yesterday morning, two mornings ago, woke up, sounded a lot worse than I do right now. And the entire day, I'm backtracing. I'm trying to figure out why. What I felt fine. Like, I don't feel sick. Like, I still don't feel sick. Through the whole thing, didn't feel sick, just couldn't talk.
Sad story.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Real sad
and that's
story.
That's where I got to. Yeah. I got to thinking, who's the only person that has access to the studio 24/7?
That's
7 days a week, all the time.
Who's always here?
And Keith and me aren't always here. Tom, you're not always here. Who's always here?
Are you insinuating?
Listen, I'm not insinuating.
Is he always here?
You have been gunning for one of the spots on this fucking show.
Look, kid, you're obviously not feeling
kid?
Well.
Kid, really?
Why don't you, really? Why don't you do this?
Tell me right now. Evan,
go grab an orange.
Uh-oh.
You need some citrus, obviously.
Here we go.
You sound like shit. Maybe it's the two packs of cigarettes a day. Don't point fingers my way, pal. Just because I'm a fucking lean, mean fitness machine. All right? Haven't put a carcinogen in my body since I was born. Look at these fucking abs. Come here, guys. Look.
Can you put your shirt down, bro?
Seriously.
No one cares. You're a $160.
Yeah.
No wonder you have abs.
I have been,
Wookie will snap you in half. I smoked the same amount of cigarettes I did for the past week besides the last 2 days. And all and only, I walked out of the studio the other night and you were the last one here. And you were uncharacteristically nice to me as I left. Not so much cold. You were actually, hey, Kronk, you have a good night, man. It was good doing the show with you, man.
Well, I think now I'm going to throw something out there, too. After we spoke, he did give you a tanker, and you did drink it.
I did.
And
and
everybody knows, anyone who knows Kronk knows that you, no matter what, he can't turn a tanker down.
No.
So you don't know what was in there.
No.
You don't know what could have been done to it. You don't know.
I just hope it wasn't anything too serious. Like, I mean, if it's just shenanigans with Evan and he just wants me gone for a couple days, whatever. But I hope he's not trying to fucking kill me.
Is that your way of saying, you're out of here for this episode? Because if so, I'd love to just go ahead and jump in.
I know you would, yes.
Yeah, I think Wookie is going to tap out for this episode.
Yeah.
We're going to let him go ahead and rest his voice. Evan, unfortunately, we don't need you to help.
This is not over, Evan.
No.
Well, the show works much better as a three-man team. Basically, a two-man team of just me and Keith would probably be optimal. You know, he wants to carry you clowns along fine. This week, if you wanted to be me, Keith, and I guess Tom... You can also be involved. Let's go. Let's rock this, guys.
What?
Yeah, listen up, Evan. Listen, we'll just call you Sloppy Seconds. I'm not talking good Sloppy Seconds. I'm talking the filthy, nasty Sloppy Seconds.
It's a type I love, too.
Oh, no.
You know, that's those type of Sloppy Seconds. It's like those bowls of ice cream. It's getting all syrupy and gross at the end. It's all mixed up and slopped together. You got the syrup, ice cream, makes a big soup. That's what I like. Lick it right off your fucking face, Tom Terrific.
What?
I didn't mean that. God.
You
know what? Can we just get to the next topic? What are we talking?
Yeah.
We're talking extreme rules. What do we got?
Yeah.
It's not over, Evan.
All right. Wook, why don't you go ahead? We're going to go ahead and let you bow out. Evan, why don't you go ahead?
Get some penalty. Get some.
You know what, Evan? You don't have to actually come out here. Mm-hmm. If you want to stay back there, that's fine. Stay back there. Do your thing.
No, I'm coming out.
I'm coming out there. Hold on. Coming out here. Waiting for Evan White.
Yeah.
Close that door to the studio there. Here I am. Whoa. Tom, you want to protect the big... Just get up. Let me get that main seat. Just the main chair. I just want to sit there.
No.
I want to sit in the power chair, pal.
No, not in the power chair. You can sit at the kiddie table right there, buddy.
Keith, do you think I should also be sitting in the power chair? Yes, no, please go. No, not at all. No. Me and Tom kind of switched that back and forth. Yeah. But before we actually talk about Extreme Rules, which took place recently this weekend, let's get into some Tom Terrific news and notes, every single little tidbit and morsel that is existing in the world and the universe of professional wrestling. Tom has ready for you. Tom, go. Can I just jump in?
No, we're doing news and notes. News and notes.
This okay, also, I just did an amazing intro. When I finish that intro, it's Tom's turn. You don't speak after that. Just moving forward, just so you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I see. Please continue, okay. Tom.
So, basically, starting off the news and notes, we mentioned this before. There was rumors that this was going to happen. But finally, Hulk Hogan has returned to the WWE. He's had a 3-year absence. And
Hulkster's back.
Yes, Hulkster's back. He's going to be ripping off his shirt. This was announced shortly before Extreme Rules.
Interesting, the first thing that Dom goes to is how Hulk won't have a shirt on. Right, Keith? Well, it's kind of one of his shticks, right? He rips his shirt off and stuff.
You know?
No, I'm just saying. Went right to it. No shirt. He's derailing the podcast already. No, dude, if you don't have anything interesting to add, don't speak, dude.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just, you know. I'm sorry. He flustered you. No, please continue. God. I know
so
how this is going.
So basically, I should be a professional. It should take more than this.
I know.
But basically, with Hulk, there was mixed reaction from some people. I read a very lengthy response from Kofi Kingston speaking on behalf of the New Day. He basically said that he felt indifferent to Hulk coming back. A lot of people feel like, you know, shouldn't he, because it's a racial issue. Mm-hmm. But he's back. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully everyone can move
on. I know, it is very interesting because it's the Hulkster. He went and had this gigantic lawsuit where he sued the people that released that video that made him look so bad. He won.
Mm-hmm.
In some way, shape, or form, it's this weird thing where that doesn't remove what he said, how it appeared to people. The very casual, when someone's very casual about a racist term and they say it very casually, obviously that's, he didn't know anyone was around, so he felt safe. It makes you think that person has said that before, to me at least. You know, I'm not saying Hulk Hogan's a racist or whatever the case may be, what do I know? But I know that people that speak like that usually are, you know, and since he's the number one superstar in the history of wrestling, I guess it really puts WWE in a funny spot.
It does, and I think, you know, this is the one when, you know, people are going to talk about it. If he behaves himself, people will forget about it. You know, was it a year ago when they were saying Bradshaw was going after Mauro Ranallo?
Yeah.
Look at how that turned out. Mauro still was a WWE. JBL's off the air. It's just interesting with Hulk Hogan because apparently I feel like he's undefeated in lawsuits. He beat Gawker.
Yeah.
He beat WCW. Made off very, very handily with those contracts. I think it's good for him and good for his lawyer, I assume, who probably made a nice chunk of money.
It's true.
But also speaking about people coming back, Brock Lesnar came back to the UFC.
Yeah.
When he came in right after, and it's like, wait, he's a WWE contract, and him and
Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic match, Brock came in right after that, stirred it up.
Yeah.
Gave Daniel Cormier a shove. Mm-hmm. Seems like he's going to, in January, be back in the UFC, which is very interesting. I have mixed feelings on it because I love UFC also, and I'm a big fan, but he just kind of just shows you how closer that is to WWE than people think. And what I mean is that they're just trying to put on the fight that'll get the most asses in the seats too. Rankings and shit obviously don't matter that much because Brock Lesnar is a 5-3 pro fighter who hasn't fought in 2 years, and his last fight got overturned because he failed the drug test for steroids. How does that guy get a title shot right away? You know, there's 25 other guys more deserving than him.
Money.
It's about money. Yeah. So that's one of the things. It kind of was WWE-ish the way he came in, cut a little mini promo, which was interesting. Cut a better promo in the UFC octagon than he ever has in the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was uncensored, too. A lot of swearing and cursing.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't written for him. Because, you know, I think they made Brock the guy where, no, let's not have him speak, because usually the strong, intimidating guys can get away with that. You know, Kevin Owens wouldn't be able to get away with that. One guy who I think who could get away with just coming out and, you know, being a scary, tough guy, not cutting promos, maybe it would be Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
But Samoa Joe's good at it. AJ Styles wouldn't be able to pull it off without promos. I think Cena wouldn't be able to pull it off. Braun Strowman, I think, could. But, hey, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
we'll see if Brock goes in the UFC ring, before, goes in the octagon before he gets back in the WWE ring.
You know what I'll do, guys? I'll go ahead and get another, if I need to, if what I need to do for this show is commit myself to another Canadian trip, I'll get up there. I'll get the word. I'll find out.
Why the hell are you asking this now? What do you mean Canadian trip?
Yeah, what are you up to?
Yes, yeah.
No, when I went up to Maryville, Canada, I remember I got an interview with Brock at the Tim Hortons.
Dude, you spliced audio together.
I'm almost positive that not a single piece of that audio was captured live.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that.
Well, man, jealousy.
I don't think it's jealousy.
Jealousy,
it's
God.
Called the truth.
Guys, you should be fucking sick of yourselves.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure we're going to move on anyways. Yeah, what do you got next? Something about New Japan, Ring of Honor, Tom?
So basically, remember how we talked how MSG was booked by Ring of Honor, but
they put the kibosh
on it? Guess what Ring of Honor did? As of now, along with New Japan, they're able to book Madison Square Garden. Do you know for what night? Do you know for what night they booked Madison Square Garden?
No.
The night before WrestleMania.
Oh,
they'll be going head-to-head with NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's something. It's gutsy. It goes to show that I think bringing New Japan in.
Really raised the clout, maybe.
It did raise the clout, and it's like, well, it's international, da-da-da.
Sure.
And it's all, well, potentially there might be a rumor that the Dolans sell Madison Square Garden, which I hope would be true.
We will obviously try our best to be in attendance at that event. That would be tremendous.
Yeah, that would be... That would be something to say, you know?
And I like that they went ahead and tried to push forward with this and didn't let the WWE intimidate them or bully them into just doing what they wanted.
Now, did you hear, since we're speaking about New Japan, did you hear what happened with Jim Ross at that live event?
No, I didn't just hear it. I was watching.
So was I. And I saw it and...
It was a shoot. Josh Barnett really wanted to smack the shit out of... Mm-hmm. It'll come to me. Hold on one second. Josh Barnett really wanted to smack the shit out of Jay White after that spot because... Yeah. It was something they didn't know was coming, and he's in his 70s, and he took a real bump and really did crack a rip.
Yeah, and it was one of the ones, too, is I saw that episode again, and Jim Ross said before that Barricade went in and hit him and all that, oh, wow, these guardrails are loose.
Yeah.
He mentioned a comment before it a few times like that, but if there's, like, one wrestling announcer you do not mess with, it's Jim freaking
Ross. It's Jim
Ross.
Ross, yeah, sure.
You know, I was waiting for, like, the glass to shatter and Steve Austin to come out with the chair. And
Stunner started getting dropped on everybody.
Yeah, pretty much, just hitting with that. But, I mean, I'm glad, you know, because Jim Ross is still calling play-by-play. Tony Schiavone is at MLW calling play-by-play.
Awesome.
So it's good, like, the nostalgia comes in. And Jim Ross was very vocal, and so was Josh Barnett. They dropped some F-bombs, I guess. I saw it on Access TV, which I don't think has that much of a broadcast. But, you know, they let things go, and I think it's great, though, that here's a competitor, New Japan, just making inroads into the United States. And solely because I think competition is great, and there's a lot of talent on the indie scene. And now... That, you know, you could have two legitimate federations.
Absolutely.
You know, and you could have Ring of Honor and New Japan go back and forth because they have a strong relationship. A lot of people are in both.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
You know, and also we have, speaking about WWE and Raw, on July 9th, 2018, Raw had their lowest rating ever. I was thinking, it's not quite a holiday. I think summertime might have influenced it. It was 3 hours. Like, What really big happened on that Raw episode?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's one question you have to ask. And I also, you know...
And I also think that part of this is the fact that they're not putting people in the spot. Like, when Daniel Bryan was the main character and he was doing his Yes move, and people kind of dug it. If you're going to have Roman Reigns be the engine of Raw, people don't dig him.
Nope.
The role he's in now, they don't like him. They're showing you this by walking out of pay-per-views, by not tuning into Raw. I don't know how much more you need to see. It's funny because WWE is still doing great, but they might be able to be doing even better.
Yes. Well, one of the things I heard, a rumor I heard is since they're moving over to Fox or SmackDown is they want to make SmackDown the A show.
Oh, wow, really?
Which I think would be very, very intriguing because, you know, they're going to have to switch over to Friday night because if they're on Fox Sports, Fox Sports has sports Monday through Thursday pretty much year-round.
Yeah.
Friday could be like, know what? We won't have any sports. That night's devoted straight to wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, and remember, too, the most watched wrestling event probably ever, Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. When did that occur? It occurred on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
So you can still get people in if the product's good. You know, so that's one thing, you know, that kind of goes to show. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, sure, man.
WWE stock is doing very, very well. AJ Styles, speaking of doing very well, he'll be on the cover of WWE 2K19.
That's awesome.
With Rey Mysterio as, like, the Legends character, even though Rey could come back soon, and Ronda Rousey is an unlockable character, or one of the characters.
Okay.
And also, potential, someone showed up at WWE Developmental who had a history with Brock Lesnar, and his name is Cain Velasquez.
Cain Velasquez.
He pretty much is known for knocking out Brock Lesnar.
Well, he beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
And embarrassed him and annihilated him. And then Alistair Overeem did the same after that and just decimated Brock. And then Brock faded away. Came back versus Mark Hunt a few years ago, and that went the way that it went. But he was one of the better UFC heavyweights. I'm not exactly sure what his injury situation is and why he didn't come back to the UFC. I'm not sure if it was concussions or what the case may be, or what injuries he had, because he hasn't fought in a while. But it's very interesting that he's at the WWE developmental.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing, too. It could, because Ronda Rousey, you know, she's very marketable. She gets a lot of the, I guess, mid-tier viewers, the common fan, I guess, to watch in. And maybe if this could be a crossover. You know, I think people are getting sick of Brock Lesnar. They made their voice known. But you got someone with that legitimacy of being a badass who could come in and destroy people.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember how, like, when in the mid-90s they bought back the Ultimate Warrior, and what were the two things they talked about? He beat Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, who both were in WCW at that time.
That's true.
That's something they could do with Kane, potentially. You know, Ronda Rousey has, you know, with these UFC fighters, they're already trained fighters. They already have some moves.
Sure, sure.
Give them a moveset. You know, it's just if you bring in too many, how, like, if you see eight guys doing the ground and pound.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. You're going to have guys have a different, they can't all be the same.
Yes.
You know, every guys have to be a little bit more diversified from one another, for sure. Mm-hmm. Tom, speaking of which, let's get into this weekend's pay-per-view, which had a lot of different diverse matches, but I don't even know really what to say about it because I really didn't think it was that good.
Are you ready?
Check this out!
All right, Tom, terrific. So you had WWE Extreme Rules emanating from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Right off the bat, first thing I want to say about it is the crowd was a little strange.
Yes.
A little quiet in some parts and also just unusual the way they acted. People they cheered four times, they cheered. During the, we'll get to one of the matches, the main event, where they acted kind of weird when they were counting down the countdown. You know, the two pre-show matches, you had Almas versus Sin Cara. Almas took a W 7 minutes in. And you had Sanity up against The New Day in a tables match. Only 8 minutes, but actually was a really good match. A lot of fun to watch. Did you see that match?
Let me just point this out. I always feel like New Day is always on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Even when we went to SummerSlam and it was like a four-hour event.
Yeah.
It was New Day and the Usos, you know, which they put on a killer match.
Mm.
And it wasn't officially on the...
I mean, the first match of the night was for the Raw WWE Tag Team Champions Championship with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt up against the B-Team. Shocking ending to this match. The B-Team with an upset victory over Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. What'd you think about that?
I think B-Team, it seems like Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, like, they don't get a push, they get a shove. You know, like they kind of come up a little bit, get a little momentum, and then they run out of ideas for them. You know, that's kind of, I feel like it was good for them to break up from Miz to kind of go up on their own.
Yeah.
And they're kind of a tag team hodgepodge, which they kind of have been doing for years.
Yeah, sure.
Very few traditional. Like, when he came up in the 80s, in the early 90s, those tag teams were legit tag teams, you know, Hart Foundation.
Yeah, for
all
sure.
Them had double, like, when I think of a tag team, I think of double team moves, sequenced outfits, maybe a manager or something like that.
Absolutely.
Not two guys, like, they got nothing to do, so let's put them together.
No, I know. And the B team, though, I mean, we'll see what happens. The crowd did pop a little when they won, though.
Yeah.
So I got to give it to them. And one theme I'm going to go with, I want everyone to recognize, is the first match that I had in the pre-show with Almas and Cara was 7 minutes. The match with Sanity, and The New Day was 8 minutes. The match with the B team and Matt Hardy was exactly 8 minutes. The match with Finn Balor and Baron Corbin was 8 minutes, 20 seconds. The match with Carmella and Asuka, 5 minutes, 25 seconds.
Yeah, I heard that.
The match with Shinsuke Nakamura and Jeff Hardy was 6 seconds long. The match with Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman, once again, 8 minutes. The match with the Bludgeon Brothers and Team Hell No, once again, 8 minutes. This time, 8 minutes, 20 seconds. Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns got 14. Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax got 7 minutes. AJ Styles, Rusev got 15. The main event we know was 30. Mm-hmm. All these matches, 7 or 8 minutes. When you don't give these guys that much time, how's anyone really supposed to get over?
I think this is something where, you know, having the co-branding pay-per-view, it could backfire because you don't establish the stories. You're not getting as much screen time. And who thought? But I think Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns put on a decent match. But they aren't like two great workers. And I'm like, no, I'd love to see them go at it for, you know, 20
the crowd
minutes.
We'll get to that match. I'm gonna tell you, they were absolutely dead for that match, guys. We had Finn Balor up against Baron Corbin. The crowd was semi into it, going for Finn, the new look for Baron Corbin with the shaved head and the kind of the outfit that he's wearing. I think that Finn Balor is somebody who's over, but they're not exactly sure at this point what to do with him. You know,
he's someone where, you know, he always loses. You know, and I wonder that injury 2 years ago when he won the Universal title, that totally killed him. Like they try to do like the comeback story.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Finn Balor and Seth Rollins are very similar to each other, and kind of like they're both pretty close in weight class.
Yeah.
Both of them are very good in-ring performers. I feel like split them up. I would say the one thing Seth Rollins has over Finn Balor is Seth Rollins is so much better at the promo. And Seth, you know, that one little I think the two major changes they made to Seth Rollins that helped him out was that one little change in his theme music with the Burn It Down. Because anytime you get the crowd into your entrance, that's a big thing.
Absolutely.
And also he bought back the stomp.
Yeah, that was a good finishing move.
Because it's very original, it's creative, it can kind of come out of nowhere too. Because what he was using, he used the stomp, which was good, but then they decided to
Then he was using the pedigree.
He was using the pedigree, which is, okay, it's a good move, but it's Triple H's. Then he used the knee to the face, which was someone else's finisher too. But going back to the stomp, you know, it's like, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
It establishes everything. And, you know, he's put on great matches. Like, if you look at it, like, if this is the half-year report, Seth Rollins is getting the MVP award.
Yes, and we'll get to Seth Rollins. He's in the main event momentarily. Mm-hmm. We have Carmella up against Asuka for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. James Ellsworth, suspended above the ring in a shark cage, fell out of the shark cage because he picked the lock, was hanging from it. This was an absolutely horrible match in a horrible situation. Carmella looks gorgeous, as always. Gets another win over Asuka through underhanded means. I don't know, Tom. I like Ellsworth with her, but this was stupid.
This is one of the things, too, where I guess Ellsworth signed a 30-day contract because he wasn't back on SmackDown. And he is a good way to get that heat, to keep Carmella in with, like, the underhanded henchmen, if you would call him that. I'll give credit for Carmella for this. I think she has raised her game.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially promo-wise. Just, like, you know, she's using, like...
And her mannerisms in the ring, she does a great job.
You know, like, that bratty little girl who gets everything, I think... Alexa Bliss and Carmella have the same vibe, but they do it differently.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's the way I feel. And I think Carmella could be that heel that you love to hate. And hopefully Becky Lynch gets a shot at her at SummerSlam.
Are you guys going to let me get a word in here?
Well, all right.
Do you have any opinions on the matches? I mean, we haven't been ignoring you. If you have something to say, go ahead.
Yeah.
Not really on that match, no. Then what are you interrupting us for?
Why did you say anything?
I'm just checking in, making sure you guys know I'm here.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on to the next match. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Jeff Hardy in 6 seconds. Low blow, Kinshasa, match over. What the fuck? More low blows, more of this nonsense? I mean, what are we supposed to say about this?
This match, I think, this is one of the ones where it was supposed to establish what happened after the match when Randy Orton came out.
It was absolutely.
And it was, you know, it comes out. I love Jeff Hardy's new look because he's going, you know, he's using like a similar broken character, but he's just like, he's enhanced his character and he separated himself from Matt, which I think is great.
Sure.
But it also sets up a feud like Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy because, you know, I think their matches can blend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then what? Nakamura is just going to take the U.S. title and just go do his own thing? It just seems strange. It seemed like Nakamura just... They kind of jobbed out Jeff Hardy, and then they jobbed him out again when he took an RKO. Well, not an RKO, excuse me. Was it an RKO? No, he stomped on the balls. Yeah. When he was stomped on the balls afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is, have you guys ever been stomped in your balls?
No, I wouldn't say stomped, no.
Oh, it's fucking lovely.
Lovely? The hell?
I pay women to do it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's fucking great. Oh. Evan, sometimes, I swear to God, dude. Oh. What, man? I'm in some weird shit.
You want to know what's happening right now? The fans are stopping the podcast and taking a shower after that comment. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, I'd love to take a shower with every one of you guys.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Lay down right in your bathtub. Stop being weird.
Lay right down in the bathtub. You could stomp my sack out.
Oh, come on.
All right, you know what? I'm not going to air any of this, so you might as well stop.
What do you mean? Don't edit me. Don't you fucking edit me. Jeez. Just because I'm different.
That's not why we're editing you. Yeah. It's because you're offensive and you're disgusting. Let's get on to the next match, a steel cage match. Kevin Owens up against Braun Strowman. Kevin Owens gets the W because he gets thrown from the top of the cage through a table in a bump that was just insanity. Mm-hmm. The way that he took it was insane. I thought he was dead. Wow. And the match was pretty much a Braun Strowman destruction.
Yeah.
Then Owens handcuffed him to the turnbuckle. Mm-hmm. Gets choke slammed to the ring floor. I mean, that was a crazy ending.
This is one of the ones where WWE was always good at getting guys over who don't win the match. Here's one where Braun Strowman technically doesn't win the match, but you're gonna remember that. You know, it has that one moment of Kevin Owens getting thrown off. Kevin Owens isn't really known as a high flyer. I'm a fan of him, but this is also when has Kevin Owens taken time off from TV?
Yeah, true. Not that long. You know, not that much in the last 4 or 5
years.
So
it's like, you know what? Give him some time off. You know, Braun looks like the big bad monster. And then Kevin Owens can come back and try to go after Braun at a later time.
No, I like it. I like it. We had the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The Bludgeon Brothers up against Team Hell No. This was another odd match just because of the way that earlier in the night they had Kane take an injury. Got smashed with a mallet in his knee. Brian came out by himself. Of course, you thought Kane would come out at some point. He had a walking boot in his foot. Not a good match. I can't say I really enjoyed it that much. I thought it was kind of just the pacing of it wasn't really good. The psychology of it, I guess, was simple, but wasn't intriguing at all. And I don't know. I just wasn't really feeling it.
I felt like if you bought Kane back to TV, but he's going back off because he has a legit ankle injury, totally defeats the purpose. I felt like this is something like, okay, they want to build up the Bludgeon Brothers as like these big bad monsters. I see the Bludgeon Brothers being a one-time tag team champion where, like, you know, they might have a legitimate run, and then once they lose the titles, they'll never get close again. Mm. They'll just be another tag team.
Yeah, I'm not entertained by the Bludgeon Brothers that much for some reason. And I do like Luke Harper, but whatever it is about them just isn't the most entertaining.
Yeah, I think the mallets kill it because that's a little.
And I wanted to see everyone. Daniel Bryan comes back, and everyone's wanting to see this amazing comeback story and these wins. And they seem like they have all these really easy storylines they can use, and they're using none of them. And he's just losing tag team championship matches. It just seems like it's a waste.
Yeah, I think too. They should hopefully build up to Miz versus Daniel Bryan because that's been brewing for.
Yes.
That's been brewing up, but it's also too. Do you wait for WrestleMania to get that?
Yeah.
Because hypothetically, let's just throw this out there. Let's say The Miz beats AJ Styles for the World Championship.
Then you can have Daniel Bryan win a Royal Rumble. It'll be tremendous.
Yeah, if Daniel Bryan goes after The Miz, which I think would be...
Now, brilliant. The WWE Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss went up against Nia Jax. Ronda Rousey got involved. Another wild match. Ronda looked great in it, but Alexa Bliss ends up getting the W after some hijinks went on. Mm-hmm. Alexa, I mean, they just have her rolling for a couple years now, and she just rolling again in this match, Tom.
Yeah, it's easy, too, to have... to be chasing the person for the championship. And Alexa, you know, she sticks out, I think, because she's the only one that is like the true
good.
Heel.
You're fine.
And the devilish heel character who uses all these underhanded tricks to keep the title. Because there's a lot of faces when you look at the women's division. Like, you have Carmella, Alexa Bliss. Who else could be a heel? Sasha's kind of a tweener.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is one person who can be a straight-up heel. And it's easier to chase. Like, you know, Nia had her WrestleMania moment, and then Alexa uses an underhanded way to get it back, so now they can go back to chasing it.
Yeah, it just seems like they're kind of put. They didn't have Ronda win the title right away.
No.
You know, they're kind of having her chase it a little bit, too. Maybe they're going to have it avoid her until WrestleMania. You never know. Maybe she'll win the Women's Royal Rumble.
That's true. And I think that would make a lot of sense. I mean, Ronda has put on great matches.
Yeah, she's been doing great.
But I would say don't do something that, especially since the women's division is coming about, they want to establish it, and they want to have a women's only...
And I think, say you want to legitimize these women and make them seem like beasts, don't have Ronda come in and crush every single one of them, make them look like jabronis.
Yeah. You know, like, you can have Ronda lose, but have Ronda lose, like, underhandedly.
Sure.
Just to, like, keep it going, because it's kind of like UFC competing versus WWE. You know, you want to make sure, like you said, if Ronda comes in, all right, UFC superior to WWE. You need to, even though Ronda's a great athlete, you need to show that Ronda is equal. You know?
Now let's get to the final two matches of the night, the matches that I thought were the best matches of the night. the WWE Championship match, which did not go on last, interestingly enough, mm-hmm. went on second to last. AJ Styles up against Rusev. 15 minutes, great match. AJ takes the W. I did think there was a possibility this was the time that maybe they have AJ lose. He's had a great run going on, I think, since November of last year. So Rusev is so over right now. He's kind of a tweener guy, too, where he's a heel, but also people really dig him. Mm-hmm. He's physically intimidating. He has great moves with... I'm not saying he's amazing on the mic, but he's not horrible. You know, he's believable. He's kind of funny. And it would have made sense to me, say they had him go ahead and take a title, but AJ's AJ. Anytime he wins, you're not going to be mad about it.
But it's also, too, Rusev had an organic face change.
Yes.
Where Rusev Day got over, and they started putting that. Aiden English enhanced him. And I think it could have been interesting to establish Rusev, because he's one of the guys, he's been in WWE for a few years. He's had some matches, but he never had that one moment that kind of established him. You know, and he is one of the guys, too, that could be a deserving champion.
Sure.
You know, which I think if he had the championship, this would be the time to do it.
Yeah, and he's someone that would be believable, I think, as a champion no matter what, mm-hmm. Rusev. AJ Styles, like we said, takes a W in that match. And the main event of the night, Dolph Ziggler up against Seth Rollins, 30-minute Iron Man match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. It goes the distance, tied up 5-4. Then you had a quick win in overtime, I guess, by Dolph Ziggler after interference by Drew McIntyre. Good match.
Yes.
I don't think it was as good as I thought it was going to be, Tom, if I'm going to be honest about it, but still a good match.
I thought it was good. I like the psychology because Iron Man, you kind of get those, like, instead of trading back and forth, you had Seth Rollins get out to a 2-0 lead. McIntyre gets involved, beats up Seth Rollins, so he takes the DQ. Ziggler is able to catch up 3-3. Which I think you need to find new ways to book the Iron Man match. That was a good new way. They found out it was tied up. You know, I kind of thought, okay, Seth Rollins is going to win it here. But then McIntyre comes out again, hits Seth Rollins, Ziggler gets it. So this is something, too, where Seth Rollins wins the Universal Championship potentially. Ziggler could be like, know what? You can't beat me. I deserve a title shot.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, is Drew McIntyre related to Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block?
No.
What is that even?
No.
I don't think so. No, right? No, no. He's from Scotland.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big old Scott.
That would have been cool though, right?
Yeah, well, you know Marky.
No, I wouldn't have. No one would have cared.
Yeah, Marky Mark is related to Donnie Wahlberg from New Kids on the Block. I'm pretty sure you
I've actually looked this up. That's actually not true. They're actually not related to Wahlbergs. Really? Donnie Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg. Not similar last name. Yes, true. Not related. Yes, that's wrong. They're brothers.
Yeah, they're brothers.
Everybody knows this.
Yeah, they've known this for the last like 30 years.
No, I know a lot of people think that. But actually, in actuality, completely different bloodlines, different, completely not related at all.
Well, I think, you know, they're not getting along now because Mark doesn't like Donnie's wife, I do believe. But
is that a thing? Oh, God.
I believe so. I believe his wife is Jenny McCarthy.
It's weird that he wouldn't like the wife of a complete stranger with the same last name. No, it's his brother.
Yeah, it's his brother.
They're, you know what, you've actually offered nothing to this podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can we finish up the Extreme Rules review?
Yeah.
I just want to say, I don't, overall, there was some good matches, but something's been missing lately from the pay-per-views, and there hasn't been a great one in a while, and it just seems like this is another time where the booking was a little weird. They had some pokey endings, and even Rollins and Ziggler didn't really deliver like I wanted it to,
well, it
which
was
is
also,
really surprising.
You know, the crowd started doing... I hated the crowd.
Mm.
You know, I think we need to address that, because that's something...
Everybody knows Pittsburgh crowd sucks. Bunch of fucking clowns out there in Pennsylvania. Wannabe New Yorkers in a bum-ass farm state. You got Amish people living all over the place. You kidding me?
Okay.
That's all fair. The crowd wasn't amazing, so I can't really disagree with that.
Yeah.
They're doing that countdown during the Iron Man match, which I didn't really appreciate.
Every minute. It's one thing if you do it for the Royal Rumble, but this was one of the ones where it totally... Yeah, two good workers, and I think it agitated the fans at home. You know, because they wanted to be paying attention, and they just didn't give it a shot.
Yeah, show some respect, Pittsburgh. A town of fucking animals. You ever seen the women in Pittsburgh?
No.
Look like George Animal Steel with a wig. Like Dom DeLuise with smaller tits. How do you feel about that, Tom?
Wow, that's...
Well, that's a strong burn, actually.
Yeah, yeah, he's bringing the heat. Apparently, Pittsburgh, that's something you don't
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I'm not a big... Never really been a big fan of Pittsburgh.
Okay. Any reason why?
Well, Penguin fans. Okay. Pirate fans are really harmless. Their team is absolute dumpster fire filth, so don't worry too much about them, but their football team.
Steelers?
Oh, Christ. These guys. These front-running scumbag fans. Fake Fugazi jabronis. Get out of my face. Heinz Field, suck my fucking dick.
Wow.
Okay. Jesus. You know what, everyone? I know this was different. We didn't have Wookiee today, so different energy for the podcast. But that's what we got for you guys this week.
Enjoy it.
And we were Wookiee-less. We had Evan filling in. Evan, thanks again. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime, guys.
Hopefully Wookiee gets better soon.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and make this permanent.
No.
Let's lock this in right now.
This is temporary.
Keith, shake my hand. Come here.
This is for today.
What? Keith.
No, is that his hand or something, something else?
Keith, lock this in permanently. Shake my hand. Tell me I'm on the show for the rest of my life. I can't say I can have you as a host forever. You didn't really do that great of a job today.
Really?
And I didn't do a great job. Are you kidding me? I was zinging one-liners.
You weren't even talking.
Yeah, you didn't say much.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying a lot in my head.
Oh, no, you need to say it out loud. Like, we need to hear it.
Oh, okay.
All right,
all right, well, anyways, people, we're signing off. Thank you for listening. Another amazing edition of the Kayfabe Nation podcast. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Tom Triffin McAllister, and the Dark Knight, Evan White, as well as the Majestic Beast, Nicholas Kronk, we'll get at you next week. Have a good one.
Are you ready?
Check this out. They just realized that...
Rise to the top, oh yeah. And there is no one that does it better.
This one makes you tick. Is this what you need in life?
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter.
Oh my God!
K-Fan.